This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Michael Lee is with me right now, senior NBA writer for the Athletic, and he's here on the show. He's been here before. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing great.
What is happening with the Lakers, buddy? This is like, I don't know if you remember the old TV show, Let's Make a Deal, in syndication. You kind of go behind one of the doors, there's a donkey. I'm not so sure what's behind the next door for the Lakers. What in the world happens to the Lakers here?
Well, I think it's sort of the same situation that we saw with the Knicks when James Dolan's father, Pat, transferred the team over to him. And we've seen almost 20 years of dysfunction. The Lakers are kind of moving in that direction. Oof. Ever since losing Jerry Buss. No, I'm being honest.
No, I hear you.
Because, you know, it's a family business now, right? And a lot of times, just because your father had success with something doesn't mean that you will.
Yep.
We know that, like, just because Michael Jordan's sons play basketball, that they're not going to be the best at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, you know, you have to respect the fact that, you know, what your father did is not what you do. And you have to move on and place the franchise in the hands of people who know what they're doing and don't just expect things to happen just because you're the Lakers. And I think that's sort of what has happened, you know, over the last 6 years, is that the family, the Buss family, Jeannie, her brothers who ran it before her, all kind of approached this as, well, we're the Lakers, so it's just going to work out.
Yeah.
And it's not that easy. It takes a lot more than that. It takes a plan. It takes execution. And it takes a commitment to doing what's right and what's best. And so far, they're committed to doing what's wrong at every step of the way.
Listen, you lay that out well. Anybody could parachute in and just rip apart, you know, what's wrong with the Lakers. That, a lot of that is fairly obvious, and we've been hitting this all year. I guess what's most interesting to me now, and I don't know that you have this answer, I haven't really heard anybody expand on this, but do you think at this point LeBron James is beginning to intimate that he wants out, or is he not there yet?
I don't know. I think that if he wanted out, that we'd be reading about it pretty loudly and clearly through some means. He has people that he can send information to who will gladly report that he wants out. I don't know if we're there yet. I also know that if there is a situation where the Lakers are looking to move him, then it would definitely be an indictment of the whole franchise, because you don't sign LeBron James unless your intention is to win with him. You don't sign him to trade him. You sign him to give him what he needs for the time that he's with your franchise and maximize having one of the greatest players of all time on your roster. You do that, and you try to hire the coaches that he wants. You try to get the teammates that he wants.
Keep kissing his behind like every other franchise has done.
That's the deal you make when you sign LeBron James. You deal with the good and the bad. You deal with the drama. You deal with all the passive-aggressive social media posts.
Yep.
You deal with him showing up to the arena with a glass of wine when he's not playing.
Which is a joke.
That's the cost of doing business when you have one of the all-time greats on your roster.
Yeah, but Mike, hold on. I hear you. Like, conceptually, I understand what you mean here. But to my knowledge, he never walked in. He was never so brazen. And if I missed it, this is my bad. He was never so brazen, never so bold to walk into Quicken Loans Arena with a glass of wine. I mean, the LeBron James that the Lakers thought they were getting is not exactly the LeBron James that they got. So I'm going to disagree with you in this sense and say that while, yeah, fundamentally and conceptually, what Michael Lee just told me, when you acquire LeBron, you have to do what it takes to give him the proper tools to win. I'm going to tell you that this isn't the LeBron that they thought they were getting. So I think the prudent thing to do, Michael, is to make an about face, get out of this relationship, and save face, because you're not going to win a championship with LeBron James. It ain't happening. You know it. Everybody knows he is not winning with the Lakers. So get rid of him.
Then don't sign him in the first place.
Yeah, I understand that, but that's already done. So we can't. We can lament that all we want. Now you've got to get to phase B. I agree. Then you shouldn't have signed him, but that's already transpired. So you've got to do something today that will fix tomorrow. And in my opinion, fixing tomorrow will be easier if you trade him.
No, I think the fishing tomorrow begins first making a genuine effort to actually do something right by LeBron. Once they sign him, they did everything wrong. They signed a roster of flawed characters who did nothing to complement LeBron's game. You've done nothing as an organization to improve your roster since you got LeBron. I just think that if you have him on your team and you have other talented players on your team, star players on your team, then you have an opportunity to do something special. Obviously he's getting older, and he's not the LeBron that, you know, of, say, 3 or 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
but he still is one of the best players in the game. He's still a guy that can get you 28-8-8 in his sleep. And those guys are rare. And I think that if you put him in an environment where he feels like he has a chance to win, you're going to get a better version of LeBron. If you find a way to add another star player to that roster, but the problem that they have now is that they look so disorganized, they look so dysfunctional, that if I'm a player from afar, I'm staying far away. I'm looking at the Clippers and I see an organization that looks like they understand that they get it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it all comes down to ownership in this league. It all comes down to having somebody in charge who has a vision and has a plan. Steve Ballmer clearly went to the Clippers with visions of, you know, building something special. When the Joe Lacob took over the Golden State Warriors, he came in like, we're going to change this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have to do. You have to have that kind of vision. And if you have LeBron James on your side and you think that trading him is going to somehow make you better, when one, you still don't have a vision, two, you don't have a plan, three, you don't have people in charge who know what they're doing, then the trading for him is just basically just surrendering.
What, kind of kicking it down the road a little where no real resolution? Okay.
Yeah, you haven't done anything to make your situation better. You haven't hired a general manager who knows how to run a team.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't hired smart people, scouts. You haven't hired a coach who's going to be able to maximize what happens. So you're going to get some assets, okay?
Yep.
You're going to get some young pieces. What are you going to do? You're going to put them into a dysfunctional situation, and you're going to continue to be a bad team because you don't know what you're doing. And all you've done is basically prove that you're the one franchise in NBA history that had LeBron on your roster and was so clueless that you had to.
Maya, did you cut out there? Michael Lee still with us?
I'm here.
Good.
I'm here.
Okay, good. No, we the last statement was you're the only team with a LeBron on your roster and you had to trade him because you're so clueless. That's a good comment right there. Michael Lee is with us, senior NBA writer for The Athletic. All right, I want to go back to, I don't love to keep rehashing history because it gets old, but one thing that's confounding to me about LeBron's arrival in L.A., I'm not saying you just did this, but a lot of people position it, Michael, that, you know, LeBron was blindsided. You know, LeBron James knew what he signed up for. Like, he knew that Luke Walton was the head coach. He knew that Rob Pelinka was in a role that he really had never been in before. He knew that Magic Johnson was there trying to do things he'd never done before. And I would have to imagine, at least on the most rudimentary level, Michael, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, that they had to at least say, hey, you know, what do you think if we sign Rondo and we bring in Beasley? There's no way that they just shoved five guys down his throat and said, hey, LeBron, you know, I don't care if you like these five guys. We're going to bring him in on one-year deals. He had to at least be in alignment on some level. So it's not like he was sabotaged. He knew what he signed up for. So why would people feel sorry for LeBron? How is he a sympathetic figure right now? I don't get it.
because even if he approved or signed off on these deals, it doesn't make him a general manager. You know,
but he's always been the GM, Mike. Always been the GM. You know that.
Yeah. Tell that to David Griffin. Okay. Tell that to the guy who made the trades for J.R. Smith and for Timothy Mozgov and for Amon Shumpert the year that they, you know, wound up going to the finals.
Well, let me ask you this: who told David Griffin? Who told David Griffin to pay Tristan Thompson exorbitant money and to give Amon Shumpert a dopey contract and J.R. Smith? It was probably David. It was LeBron who told David Griffin.
Yeah, the back ends of those deals don't look very good. But
that's what I'm saying.
But what happened in 2016 looks pretty good.
I hear you.
Keeping those guys in the fold and giving LeBron what he needed to make four consecutive trips to the finals and win the championship, hasn't that done some wonders for you?
Yeah.
And before, you know, he got fired before they let him go,
mm-hmm.
he was in the process of trading Kyrie Irving for Paul George. You don't think that a Paul George LeBron tandem would have been able to do anything in the East? I think it would have been all right.
Yeah, they would have been all right for sure.
It would have been better than the Isaiah Thomas LeBron tandem.
Yes, that is correct. I'm not going to debate you on that. Hey, by the way, Michael, it's go time. We got to get running here, but it's literally go time for James Harden. I mean, he's got to win tonight. Do you think he plays well?
I hope for his sake that he does, because I don't want to hear him have to go through what he went through 2 years ago when he completely got dragged.
Well, you mean when he stopped shooting against the Spurs in Game 6?
Yeah,
he brought it on himself.
Kawhi Leonard, and he just was a straight no-show. It led to him having one of the best years of his career. He won MVP, but he still hasn't had a chance to have a deep finals run, that's the kind that really elevates you to, legendary status. I mean, when you talk about all the all-time great shooting guards, from Jordan to Kobe to Jerry West, Dwayne Wade, they have their moments in the finals, in the playoffs, that we remember, that we talk about. James doesn't have that on his resume. And, we know he's a great regular season player. And if he fails again, then we'll just have to just look back and say he's one of the greatest regular season players we've ever seen, and just did not have a moment in the postseason that matched that greatness.
Yeah, he's going to start taking on, whether it's, I throw out names early, Alex English or Carmelo. I mean, a lot of points and a lot of, great, regular season moments in a high profile. But in terms of, doing what you have to do when it matters, zip. I hope he plays well, too. I think they win tonight. I think it's tight. I don't think the Warriors get run out. I actually like the Warriors to cover the 7 points, for those who care about that. But I think he's gonna. I think he's gonna play, and I'm one of them. I think he plays well tonight and the game 7. I don't know, because there's too many things on his resume that just give me real pause, where he either didn't show up in terms of being engaged in shooting, or he just shot a lot and missed. So we'll see. It's gonna be a really interesting weekend, man. I appreciate
he
you hopping up.
Golden opportunity in game 5 for sure.
No doubt about it. I hear you. One shot in the final 8 minutes, and that's mystifying. Michael, really good chat. I appreciate it, Michael. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.